verse of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. John 17:17. As I trust you all know, John 17 is our Lord's great prayer of intercession. We speak of the Lord's prayer very frequently when we mean the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the prayer that he gave us as a pattern. I don't think it's wrong to call that the Lord's Prayer, but in a very special sense, this is the Lord's Prayer, because this is the prayer that our Lord gave shortly before his crucifixion. It's a prayer of intercession for all of his people. And I'm going to confine our attention pretty much today to this one verse: sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In this verse, the word truth occurs twice. And philosophers have argued and debated about what truth is. Some even say truth is just whatever's in your head. That is all there is. We can't have no depth of knowledge of truth. We would be in a very sad situation if that were the case. And yet, apart from God's word, that is the case. We are, you might say, like someone who has been dropped from a parachute, dropped with a parachute out of a plane in the night into the middle of a big forest. And there are trees all around. And for all you know, you may walk 100 miles in one direction before you strike water, before you come to a road, before you come to any source of food or life. It might be half a mile in the other direction. You have no way of knowing. You are just there, no idea what is in any direction, what or where you might be. That's exactly the situation that man is in apart from the Word of God. A little child gradually begins to learn something about things around him. And then as we grow older, we learn about more things. But everything that we know, apart from God's word, is partial. We do not have a full knowledge of anything apart from that. How do you know that Julius Caesar ever lived? How do you know that this world was in existence 100 years ago? Well, we have around us, of course, things that say that were written at that time. Now, how do you know it's true? It had to start sometime. Maybe it started yesterday, and all of us were given brains that have in them little marks there that seem to be recollection of what we did during the last 10 or 20 or 50 years. We don't know, except that the Bible says we've been here a much longer time. The Bible is God's word. It is His truth. And if we are going to know which direction to go, if we're going to know how to get out of this forest, where we can come into the green pastures that the Lord wants us to go, we have to have truth. And so God's word is the only real source of truth. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Truth is an abstract thing, is of great interest to some of us. Others don't bother. Some it's very fascinating to try to figure out just what is the real nature of things. What they really mean. But absolutely necessary for all of us is to learn what is truth as to how we should conduct our life and where we're going anyway. What are the facts that are vital for us to know? Now, a man in a forest like that, if he has a map, is in altogether different position from one who doesn't. If he has a map, if he has a compass, or if he can see the sun and learn something of directions and put his map down right. I have gone a good bit in wilderness areas with the topographic map. which the United States government has prepared. And these maps have a tremendous amount of information in a little space. They show the rises and the falls, they show the stream, they show a great deal of the nature of the country. But you have to learn to read them. And it's very easy to misread them. It's very easy to be mistaken about them. You have to learn what all these different little marks mean. Well, the Bible is much the same way. The person can just take the Bible and take a verse out of context, and you may get a wonderful truth, or you may get a complete misunderstanding. Because thy word is truth. God wants us to understand the truth. He wants us to learn to get into it, to see just what it really means. I call your attention, for instance, to Isaiah 53, these fourth verse. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What a wonderful truth is there, the truth of the atonement, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin, who carried our sins on the cross, took them away from us. A marvelous truth, isn't it? But if you look closely at it, you find that these words, griefs and sorrows, are very, very general translations for very specific words. The Hebrew means, surely he has borne our pains and carried away our diseases. Well, that's quite different. He's taken away our pains. He's taken away our diseases. This isn't talking about his death on the cross at all. That's a marvelous truth of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. There's nothing more important in all the scripture. But if we're simply going to read that out of every verse we find, we will miss other things that the Lord has there for us. He wants us to know what this really means. He has carried away our sicknesses and taken away our diseases. Does that mean then there's no excuse for any of us ever to be sick? Well, we know the fact we are sick. And it's a fact that everyone who was living 200 years ago has had some sickness bad enough to put an end to his life. Jesus has not taken away all the sicknesses in this life. That's not what the verse is talking about. What is it talking about? Well, the scripture makes it very clear what it's talking about. You turn to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verses 16 to 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and did bear our sickness. Matthew tells us what this means. This is a prediction of the healing work of Christ when he was here on earth. Now, many Bibles have a reference not only to Matthew 8:16, but also to 1 Peter 2:24. And 1 Peter 2:24 is a marvelous statement of the atonement, quoting words from the next verse. But the only thing it has in common with surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows is the one word borne. There's nothing else similar between them. And a reference like that is simply confusing. It's a marvelous truth, the truth of the atonement. But in simply looking for that everywhere, we miss other truths that God has, he wants us to have. The truth here is that Jesus Christ on his earthly life performed great miracles. And it is a great truth for us that he can perform them for us. Three-fourths of the ills that any of us have are caused by anxiety, are caused by emotional difficulty, are caused as a result of the sin within our hearts. And Jesus wants to take that away from us and will take it away from us may take away any particular illness we have. We can look to him and know that he may not be his will, but it may be his will to leave. But this verse tells us that on earth here, he did these wonderful miracles. Well, it begins with the word surely. What has surely got to do? Surely he did. Well, you say, surely. Are you going there? Why, surely I am. It's sort of just passing off. Rather incidental, isn't it? I think perhaps a better translation of present English might be, he did indeed bear our griefs, bear our sicknesses, and take away our pain. He did indeed. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What the verse means here is a prediction of the fact that the disciples and others would see Jesus Christ performing these great miracles and would hear him say, I am the Son of God, come to take away the sin of the world. And then when he was seized and put on the cross, they would say, like the men did on the road to Emmaus, why, we thought he was the one who would redeem Israel, but he's been taken and killed. It is a picture of the failure of the disciples to hold on to the truth they had seen when things seemed to go against them. It's a picture of, it's a prediction of the fact that it would take God's Spirit to bring them to faith, to bring them to understanding. Jesus said, if you won't believe my words, believe the works that I do. But they did not do it. And it takes God's Spirit to bring anyone to salvation. You can't win anybody to the Lord. Only God's Spirit can win someone to the Lord. But you may be the instrument he uses in bringing before them the fact. You may be the means that he will use. This verse, you see, has in it an introduction to the great truth of the atonement in the next verse. And when we simply take the verse and see the atonement in it and nothing more, we're seeing the greatest truth in all the scripture, which is given over and over, but we are missing the particular truth of this verse. And I believe this is very vital for us. The Christian church, over and over, repeats a few great truths. And that's one. But it neglects many, many teachings of Scripture because people are satisfied with superficial interpretation. God wants us to get into his word and get the truth that is there because it is the only source of real, permanent, lasting truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify us through thy word. Thy word is truth. But now you notice the verse doesn't merely speak about the fact that God's word is truth. It says, sanctify us through thy truth. The truth is here for a purpose. Oh, it's grand to learn more truth. Some of us perhaps aren't so much interested, perhaps everybody here is, but the world at large, many, many people aren't much interested in truth. Others of us tremendously enjoy learning new truth, to learn a new fact. I said this morning, I turned to Mr. Quinson, I said, my, I said, I've got to go over and make two talks today. I'd rather just stay studying here. I'm learning new facts all the time. I hate to leave them. Some of us have that temptation, just want to learn more and more. Well, God wants us to learn all we can. He wants us to get the truth. But he wants us to get the truth for a purpose. He gives us the truth that we may use it. And how does he want it used? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The purpose of God's truth is to sanctify God's people. It is to accomplish his purpose in the world. Oh, Christians are so ready to divide into little segments, arguing over things that aren't clear in the Scripture. If Jesus wants us to make a point of separation from another Christian over some matter, He will make it clear in His Word. We are brothers if we are saved through Christ, and to make a division over something that the Scripture has not made clear is dishonoring to the Lord. His truth is something that is for our sanctification, for our development in the faith. That is the purpose of His truth. Dr. Robert Dick Wilson, that great student of the Old Testament, great defender of the faith, used to say to his students, "Young man, God did not send you into the world to explain all the mysteries of the universe. He didn't send you to go out and explain to people all the truths about things that they perhaps don't know anything about. He didn't send you to solve all the difficult questions. He sent you to preach the gospel. In other words, He sent us to be His instruments for the accomplishment of His purpose." So there are two aspects of Scripture. If Scripture were simply a presentation of truth, God might have given us a book like a book of geometry. Proposition 1, there is a God. What do we mean by God? What are the details about it? How do we distinguish the right concept from the wrong? He might have given us a straight book of logical principles, right straight down. These are the truths that I want you to have. But He did not do that. He gave us a book that has the most wonderful poetry, the most interesting stories, the finest presentation of how God has worked in history and gave us His truth in such a way as to get into people's hearts, not merely to present it. It does give precise statements of truth. We can stand on what we find in the Bible, but what we find there is for a purpose. And so the Scripture has not only the purpose of giving truth, it has the purpose of accomplishing, the purpose of accomplishing God's will. Isaiah said in chapter 55, he said, "My word shall not come back to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I sent it." And you hear about people who, from studying the Word, have gotten things out of it that even aren't there. Simply the words in some way, something that God wanted them to have, He has gotten to them through the Word. I don't believe that any of us should go out and preach things in connection with a verse that we don't find there. I think God wants us to learn just what the truth is. But God uses His Word in ways we never dream of. Sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. God uses the word. The word is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. And so when we hear someone else giving something that is presenting God's truth as taught in the Scripture as a whole, but tying it up to a verse that doesn't teach it, it's not our place to look down on that person or to criticize it necessarily. If what He gives is real truth, and we have a chance quietly and privately to help Him in His understanding of God. But if He's giving God's truth, let's praise God that the truth is being given, even though He ties it to something that does not really present it. They say that Augustine, I'm not sure this is true because I got this from a secondary source and I didn't have time to check it this morning. But I did read that Augustine said that Uriah the Hittite represents the devil. That is, the devil is Uriah. And just as the world is in the grip of the devil, so Bathsheba belonged to Uriah the Hittite, the devil. And David, from the top of his palace, looked down and saw Bathsheba, who belonged to this, to Uriah, who represents the devil. And David sent and took her and brought her to himself. And that represents how God, how Jesus Christ came down and takes us away from the grip of the devil and takes us to himself. Well, I hope what I read was erroneous. I hope it wasn't Augustine who said that. But I know that there have been preachers who have preached nonsense just as fallacious as that, as far as the interpretation of Scripture is concerned, but who have nevertheless arrived at a presentation of truth, and God has often used it. Now, I don't think he would use us if we knew better with that sort of thing. But I do think that we want to be strict and careful in learning to interpret the Scripture, but I think we want to give our support and help to those who are presenting its great truths, even when they are in misunderstanding about the meaning of the Scripture on other points. I think this is very important, the attitude we should take on. Try to learn the truth. God will use the truth through you. But the purpose of the truth isn't just that you know more, just that you have a better understanding. It is that you may grow in grace, that you may increase in the knowledge of the Lord, and that you may be his instrument to bring others to know that Jesus Christ. So let us say this prayer for ourselves that Jesus Christ here said in his teaching. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. May he help us truly to understand his word and not to misrepresent it ourselves. But may he help us to put primary the objective for which the word came, of bringing people to know God's great truth. And may he lead us then in our relationship with others to avoid their errors, and when they oppose the central truth of God's word, to oppose them and have no fellowship with the words of God. But when they, through ignorance or misunderstanding, make misapplications which nevertheless present God's truth, to be tolerant and helpful to them, rather than to be critical and to make unnecessary division in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that your word is truth. It is the truth. It is the only truth. All other ideas are wrong, our Father. All our other ideas are to some extent merely assumed for a time until we get more evidence for or against. But what your word clearly teaches, that we know we can stand upon. Oh, our God, help us to know the truth. Help us, our Father, to get out of verses like this one in Isaiah, the truth that is there about the healing work of Christ. But, oh, our God, help us to put our stress on those still greater truths, the atonement. And when people fallaciously get it from us, help us, our Father, to stand not against the truth, but for the truth, to be helpful rather than contradictory to those who sincerely mean to advance the word of Christ. Help us, our Father, in all things to seek that in this short time we have upon this earth, that we accomplish the purposes that our Lord Jesus Christ has for us in reaching others that they may know him and be born again through Christ and to be sanctified and grow in grace through the word of God. We ask you.